irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome all you entertainment holics out there in Radio Land. It is time yet again for another thrilling, exciting installment of You Fucking Guessed It, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, coming at you live each and every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Western Time, Pacific Time, whatever you want to call it, and that is 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for all our East Coast fans out there, and for everybody else, you can figure out whatever fucking time zone you're in and figure out from there. Not my issue. Anyway, we're here today with a great guest. We're going to do our little bit intro thing, and then we're going to introduce our wonderful guest, TV show host, Dark Mark, from the Dark Mark Show.
Oh, yeah. Well, me. I thought I was going to say who came in, but okay, yeah.
You're the guest.
I'm the guest. I'm the wonderful, amazing guest. Yes.
You are the cheese today. All right. So we are Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio Channel 1. We are also syndicated on many different sites, such as iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Sonos, Deezer, Radioline, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, Spotify, CastBox, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Geo7, whatever the hell that is. We manage the following bands and artists. We have Potty Mouth, Black Sabbatha, which is a female-fronted Black Sabbath tribute band. We have SoCal Wreckers, Dawn Marlowe. She's a high priestess, does all kinds of awesome stuff like tarot cards and crystal balls and, you know, you name it. We also have Star Daddy with his lovely bride, Nola Star. Star Daddy is like hip hop, so check him out. He also does some music with the God Bombs. They're more rock, punk, techno type stuff. We also have Jane's Addicted, which is a Jane's Addiction tribute band, female fronted. We have Aussie Train, which is also a female fronted band. That's the Aussie era of Randy Rhoads. We have Mortis, the Devil's Reject, and Lillian Sin, Voodoo Kitten. I know you know some of these names already, Darf.
Yes, I've talked to some of these names.
Right.
I'm just trying, every time you throw the horns, I'm trying to throw the horns with you.
And then we have, of course, Cinder, the lovely Lady Cinder. We have Cleaver from Santiago, Chile. Fallen Fury. We have Side Effect, Burn the Ships, Berserk. And we have just now signed Hollywood Nightmare to our artist management team. So welcome aboard, Hollywood Nightmare. They played at many of our concerts at many different venues. They've been at Petey's Place. They've also been at the Five Star Bar in downtown Los Angeles. And I believe we had them at the Rainbow Bar and Grill. And I had them also play at Malone's in Santa Ana last November. They opened with Cleaver for some different bands, including our buddy. Let's give some shout-outs real quick. Five Star Bar to Marco and Angie Cordova. That's at 267 South Main Street, Los Angeles, California, 90012. We got Petey's Place out there in Tarzana, California, 6025 Reseda Boulevard. That's a shout-out to Petey Partillo. We love you. We miss you so much, and we can't wait to start doing shows again when this shit is over. We have the Universal Bar and Grill at 4093 Lancashire Boulevard in North Hollywood, California. Owner Greg Beer. What up, Greg? We also have our favorite venue that we love to do concerts at, and one of our favorite people in the entire universe, Nick Fuoco, from Metal Mayhem Mondays and Tuesdays at the Rainbow Bar and Grill. That's 9015 Sunset Boulevard, West Hollywood, California. And he's also has a tribute band called Nightmare, which is a tribute to Alice Cooper. So now that we've done our little stuff, let's do our nerd word of the week. Go and check out our hashtag nerd word of the week. This week, our word is megalomaniac. Spelled M-E-G-A-L-O-M-A-N-I-A-C. It's a noun. A person who is obsessed with their own power or suffers delusions of their own power or importance. Trump is most definitely a megalomaniac. Yeah, he fits that bill. But that's our nerd word of the week, so don't forget to go check it out. Hashtag megalomaniac, hashtag nerd word of the week. And go check us out on all of our sites. You can find us at Jenny's Real Talk on the Block on Facebook. Go to Instagram and go at Jenny's Real Talk. You can go to Twitter at Jenny's Real Talk. And of course, we're found like everywhere you can think of. And go check out our website, GetRealGlobalEntertainmentLLC.com. The show is produced and funded and brought to you by Get Real Global Entertainment, LLC, which is, you know, me. Anyway, the co-host is in the room, but he's doing, what are you playing? Solitaire?
Hello.
Oh, Lord. anyway, James Muse is here playing, what the fuck are you playing? Solitaire on his phone. I don't know.
It's not enough. That's
the kind of co-host I have.
Oh, I'm glad this amazing guest is so fascinating that you're playing on your phone. By the way, speaking of megalomaniac, which song Megalomaniac is your favorite? The KMFDM song or the Incubus song?
Ooh, I might have to say Incubus.
But yeah, see, I go with the KMFDM song, but you know, I'm a god, yeah, I'm industrial. So. They're both good. And thank you for having me on. Thank you for going live on Facebook. So people have something else to watch other than the Republican National Convention. Unless you think this is a Trump dig, the Democratic National Convention was just as bad. So they're both worthless. So this is much, much better.
They're politicians, dude.
Yeah, it's so much better.
It doesn't matter what party you're with. They all suck.
Exactly. Anyway. And you have quite an artist roster. Now, you say they have Metal Mondays at the Rainbow.
Yeah, isn't the Rainbow Metal Mayhem Mondays and Tuesdays every when they did. I mean,
well, even when they were open, isn't every night at the Rainbow Metal Mayhem? Let's be honest.
No, well, yeah, I mean, I guess. Like, well, Wednesdays is what? Jamie Hodes has her night on Wednesday nights, I guess, and she has bands and stuff, and she's really cool. She's a drummer herself. And then
I'm just kidding, because you go to the Rainbow, it's like, if people don't know, the Rainbow in L.A. is a place where you walk in. When you walk in, it's 2019, 2020, whatever year it is. But when you get in the door, it's 1989, and you're in a Skid Row video. Yes. Guys are wearing spandex. I don't know where they get spandex now, but they do. There's nowhere in the world you see these outfits except for the Rainbow.
Right.
You can go to any swap meet. You can go to any mall, Walmart. You're never going to see guys in tight sweatpants, in tight spandex pants. Looking, you know, they look like warrants, but you go to the Rainbow, there they are. So, and it's just, yeah, so it's always Metal Mayhem. And I love a lot of the artists that you had. Potty Mouth, I tried to book them for shows quite a bit, and they always were booked, so that's good. That's good management. So,
I keep all of my fans busy. Like, I don't think any of them are, well, I mean, they're even still,
well, now it's a challenge, but.
Yeah. But they're still doing stuff, and we're looking to do online concerts, so we can definitely put your logo on all of our stuff, and you know, to probably promote you even more. And you know, if you want to pop in on any of the concerts or whatever, just to do some commentary or whatever you want to do, let us know. We're here for you.
Yeah, it's a challenge to be an artist manager these days, I would imagine.
And just a little, but I still have them all busy making music videos. They're all making new music. They're being very productive, even in this downtime. I still have them taking tons of pictures and posting, and still doing as much as they can until this is over. So.
And on the other hand, you emailed me today to remind me of the show, and I was taking a nap, and I forgot that this was the date, and so this all came around real fast. But I'm glad to be on LA Talk Radio. I've been on LA Talk Radio in years. They used to have a show, Comics Life. I went on quite a few times, and I've been on a couple other shows that they used to have. And I believe, is it Sam that owns LA Talk Radio? I remember.
Yes, Sam and Ronan, yeah.
When I started my podcast, I was thinking of doing it at LA Talk Radio, ended up doing it a number of different places, but I always had fun every time I went to the studios, and I went to like a few different ones, and it was always fun to drive. I remember the one that was in Van Nuys mostly, or just off of, right next to the Ross Shopping Center in Van Nuys, and it was always fun. It's a good vibe in that studio. They LA Talk Radio is great.
Yeah, it's a nice location, and it's always a lot of fun when the studios are open, of course.
No, yeah, and now we're doing everything on Zoom, which goes into my conspiracy theory. And that I think the COVID, the coronavirus, was caused by Zoom. And I'll tell you why. And I shouldn't say that because I rely on Zoom for my show. But
Zoom, Skype, and Microsoft Teams. They all teamed up on us. That's what it was.
Well, I don't know where the Microsoft stuff starts, and I don't know what the whole beef is. If Microsoft can't get a phone together, they're not ruling the world.
No.
Bill Gates is not injecting chips into everybody if he can't get a phone going and everybody else can. If Huawei can make a phone and Microsoft can't, they're not ruling the world. But Zoom, I never heard of. Honestly, I knew Skype, I knew FaceTime, I never heard of Zoom until the pandemic. Then everybody's like, I'm doing Zoom, and I've succumbed. I use Zoom for my show, and I use Zoom actually every week to. Do a conference call with my family, so I see how everybody's doing. So,
that's
great. So Zoom's got my money. But it's just a coincidence. I never heard of them. Then the virus hit, and everybody's on Zoom. Yeah. Something's weird's going on there.
They had some weird thing on the East Coast. I think I was reading an article a couple of days ago. Something about Zoom was out in many locations. Like
I saw that. Yeah.
One of their servers, something went down, and it just all went to hell. But it was just like over that way, like middle kind of the country and like east.
Well, they have shows there too. I'm sure they have, you know, like Tallahassee Talk Radio. I'm sure they have, you know, all sorts of Virginia Beach Talk Radio. Well, that's the other thing. Everybody's a podcaster. Everybody's a radio host now because you don't have to go. You don't have to do like we did and get a studio and pitch the show and get guests and get them down to the studio. We can just do it on Zoom, which is good because.
Yeah, but I like it better, you know, because being in an actual radio station, having like a place to go for your guests to sit around a table and talk, I just think that it's better. I mean, I don't know. It also lends a little more credibility to me, and in my opinion, to a host, is when you say, I have a radio broadcast.
Oh, don't give me that out.
Podcasts are different. Podcasts you can do anywhere. I could be at Walmart in the bathroom.
That's the Sam thing. That's the LA Talk Radio. That's the LA Talk Radio speech I heard back then, too. My friends Billy Batts and Sandy Sotzer always were like, it's not a podcast. It's a radio show.
A legitimate radio broadcast. That's what I love about it. I don't know. Because anybody can podcast, dude. Anybody, some 90-year-old woman can start a podcast on Spreaker, and who fucking knows what would happen with that. But anybody can do that now. Like, you can go on anywhere, Podbean, anywhere, and just start a podcast.
No, it is true. It's just, as far as LA Talk Radio, that's always I've had a lot of arguments with Billy and Sandy from Comics Life about, like, no, it's not a podcast, it's a radio show. I'm like, it's kind of a podcast. It's not going over terrestrial waves. It's going over the internet. So that's
internet radio.
Right. My show is syndicated on internet radio too.
Exactly.
On radio on Steel Waves Radio, but it's still the shows are still the same. The only thing is. And you would know, and people don't know, there's a bit of a disconnect when you're on Zoom that is not there in the studio. You can control the show, control the conversation a lot better in the studio.
Yeah, exactly. You can hit the mute buttons, and you can up the levels of the music. Whatever it is you want to do, you can do that. Play whatever songs you want, sound bites, whatever. But
Well, when you're having a conversation, see that? When you're having a conversation face-to-face, that doesn't happen. Because you're looking somebody in the eye, and they can tell when you're about to speak, and you can tell when they're about to speak.
Yeah.
Unless you're on Zoom, then it's harder. Also, with my show, we have a lot of fun. We play with fire. We do a lot of S&M stuff. We do all sorts of crazy stuff. We have, all sorts of people, craziness, electric shock, all sorts of crazy stuff that we've done, and we've had nudity, we've had all sorts of crazy things. Harder to do on Zoom.
Hell yeah, but still, that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, I try to be a little more outrageous. We had somebody, we've had stunt people. We had somebody lift a weight with his testicles. We had somebody, we had a tug of war. We had somebody actually.
Was it Darren Malfi?
No, it was Darren Malfi's friend.
Oh, because is it Dangerous D?
It was Dangerous. It was Dangerous D's friend. It wasn't
Is he a big bald dude?
Yeah, the big bald dude. I'm blanking on his name right now, but yeah, he was Joe Kilmeister.
Yes, he's fucking nuts, yeah. Dude. I love that guy. He ripped a Bible in half at one of my concerts. Was at the CIA, Carl Crew, right? So we're there, and he rips a Bible in half or whatever, and a Dangerous D was all like, "Ladies and gentlemen, he is about to rip a book in half," and it was all like crazy. And he literally ripped a Bible in half, and everybody went nuts. And some people weren't very happy that he did that. They were kind of offended, including Carl Crew. And I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." Like, I didn't know he was going to do that. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do before they do it. They're crazy. Well, here, staple money to me.
Carl, who's been a past guest of mine, and I used to do shows. The show that I did at Carl's place last year, where Joe Kilmeister was on, Darren set his ass on fire. But and Carl's the coolest. And Carl is, if you ever go to the CIA, if we're ever allowed to go again, you can see what a maniac he is, what the cool guy he is, how much, he's collected so many crazy, cool things around and has some of the most extreme acts play at his place, but he's very religious. He's very religious, so that I could see that would be a little much for him.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I mean,
he played Jeffrey Dahmer in a movie, but, it's those.
Wait a minute. Wait, did you see Blood Diner?
Yeah, of course.
I love Blood Diner. Oh my God, dude! I watched that in the '80s when it came out.
Love Blood Diner. So here's the thing with Carl: how I found out about the CIA, and I've done shows there over the years, so many shows, and hopefully I'll be doing some more again. I walked in; they used to play like really bad horror movies. Actually, Noah Korda, who does Backstay at Disneyland, he had a night where they would play like really bad, like Plan 9 from Outer Space, I hate to say Mystery Science Theater 3000 because when I watch Mystery Science Theater 3000, I know people love it. I watch it for the movies and their jokes are so hit and miss. I'm like, just shut up. I want to watch the movie.
Really are. That's how I discovered Blood Diner with Carl Crew.
Right. So he used to play like a double feature of really, really bad movies. Really bad movies. Yeah.
Stuff that Elvira would host.
Even worse than that. I've seen some really bad movies. Okay. But The Man with Two Heads, Robot Monster, just the worst of the worst. I love watching bad, bad movies. So one night, I think it was for Carl's birthday, they had the double feature of Blood Diner, which Carl starred as a wrestler, and The Secret Life of Jeffrey Dahmer, where he played Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, God.
Now, here's the weird thing. I was there with a date, too. On screen, Carl Crew as Jeffrey Dahmer is walking by this room where he has all these skulls, skeletons, and body parts on the wall. Exactly as he's walking on the scene, he walks right by us at this place that has skulls and skeletons and shrunken heads and body parts on the wall.
I love his museum. I love it.
It was the most meta thing I've ever seen in my life, and it's hard to describe, but we both just sort of shuddered because, like, you know, I know he's not Jeffrey Dahmer, but he's playing Jeffrey Dahmer, and he just walked by us, so.
That's awesome, though. I mean, yeah. He's a cool dude. He's a really cool dude.
So he, this CIA is...
Tell us some more about your show, though. I want to know about you and what you do, and I've seen a lot of the guests that you have on your show, and you look like you have a very lovely co-host. How do you pronounce it? Hannah Bach or Bach?
Hannah Bach, everybody's favorite heavy metal DJ. Vegan heavy metal DJ, I'm sorry. She's everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ. She was actually the DJ at the Rainbow for a lot of years.
Oh, okay.
And she also used to DJ at Loaded and other clubs.
Yep,
and, Loaded. I'm the goth comedian. I make people laugh and be depressed at the same time. And it got to the point where every comedian had a podcast. So I was like, I want to have a podcast, but I want it to be different. LA Talk Radio is different. LA Talk Radio has a lot of different cool DJs that have been around. Sheena Metal, I think, is still still there.
Oh, Sheena. Yeah. That's my girl.
Love Sheena. And, they used to have Mother Love. I don't know. She's still there. They used to have Jerry Jewell from The Facts of Life used to do a show there. So these are curated hosts. When you do a podcast, it's a free-for-all. So
we have Amber Lynn on there now, too. She's been on there for a while.
Oh, that's great. Great. I think Lexington Steel had a show there for a while. But they probably didn't even need a microphone for that one. But I was – you didn't get that. He's got a huge – anyway. So I wanted to do – the thing is with a lot of comedian podcasts, it's a lot of comedians sitting around talking about the same stuff. Either they're talking about the comedy scene or they're talking about nerdy stuff, superheroes, Star Wars. And you like that, but, I mean, there's too many of those shows. It's people just sitting around like the same comics. It's just BSing with their friends. And I said, I want to do something different. I want to have – people that I'm interested in, weird guests that you would never hear on the radio, doing weird things that you would never see on the radio.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And like I say, I went to LA Talk Radio. I went to a few other places. And my friend, Gary Garver, who was on the Howard Stern show.
I love Gary.
Yeah, so he said, I've got a place, and you can do your show. And he hooked me up with this place, GoCast Network.
Okay, and
the GoCast Network, they were taping shows. Now, this is going way back. This is 2013.
Okay.
They were taping shows at the John Lovitz Club, which is not even there anymore. It used to be at Universal Studios.
Oh, yeah.
The John Lovitz Club was great. I never had a bad set there. It's one of my favorite clubs to play. I never had a bad set there. However, they would always pick people from Universal Studios and give them free tickets.
Oh, okay.
So no matter how much I killed, every single time, when I would come out with the makeup and the weird clothes and talk about weird stuff, there was one table that would just look at me like I was nuts. Not laugh, just like had this traumatized look on their face every single time. Meanwhile, everybody around them is laughing hysterically. This was every show I ever did at John Lovitz Club. It was just one place. So they had a GoCast Network had a lot of great comics on there. They had Chang, they had Darren Carter, they had Dante. So I did my show. My first show I ever did, April Fool's Day, 2013. I had Bree Walker. I couldn't believe that she agreed to do it. Bree Walker was the number one newscaster in L.A., San Diego, and New York.
Okay.
And she, her hands are she has a condition called ectrodactyly, and her hands are webbed together. So I had her on with my magician friend, Michael Vile. So I had somebody with webbed hands and somebody did sleight of hands on the first show. And then Bree brought her friend who was a transvestite comedian.
Nice.
And so it was, and I brought absinthe for everybody to drink.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Mistake for my first show. I could control the show now, but my first show, trying to control, and also my co-host was an adult entertainer, Hell's Bell.
Okay.
So trying to control four people in the studio that have been drinking heavily on absinthe and was just tripping out. It's on YouTube. You can check out the show. It's pretty chaotic.
I gotta go look that up.
Yeah. So then my third show I had Gary Garber on. Oh, I had my second show, which is a lost show. I can't find it on. It was live streamed, but I just, for the life of me, I've tried to find it. I tried to access it. I've accessed every other of my old shows that were there, except for this one. It was a one-on-one with Carl Crew that we were just talking about from the CIA. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how he did a video called Nude Bowling, and he had a 900-pound woman bowling in the nude. Yes, all sorts of stuff. It was a great interview, but I just couldn't find it. I've had him on since. So my third show was, I had Gary Garver on, and a friend of mine, Josie Cat, who was the lead singer of the band Pissants.
Yeah, okay.
And then there was such chemistry in the studio that Gary suggested that she become my permanent co-host, and she was my co-host for a couple of years after that. Okay. So what happened was, after four shows, I heard from somebody that they were closing the studio.
Oh, okay.
And it really bummed me out. I was like, oh, I just started kind of getting the hang of the podcast thing. Mm-hmm. And then there was another person doing the show at the studio, been doing radio forever, great guy, funny guy, Emery and Heather Henderson, who's a performer as well. They're a couple, and they have two shows that were probably the most popular shows on the network, to be honest with you, which is Skeptically Yours, where they debunked the conspiracy theories, and right. The Ardent Atheists, where they debunked apparently the concept of God. So they said they took the equipment that was in the John Lovitz Club, and they set it up at their house, and they said, you can do it at our house as long as you want. And so that's when the show started. We really started gelling. That's when we started tasing people. We started doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And the show really started to gel. Just after a couple months or two, 3 months, Emery's like, you know, we might have to start charging you for an engineer. So I had to look around for a studio. And I found downtown Skid Row Studios, yeah. Jeremy Hansen. And this was the best studio setup I ever had. Jeremy Hansen, he loved radio. And he wanted to have a radio station. And he had built it. They had people come in there and say, the sound quality here is better than BBC.
Oh, wow.
They had cameras. And if you look on YouTube for the old Skid Row Studio shows, the way they do the cameras, the way they did the sound, it was top-notch all the way.
So whatever happened to Skid Row Studios?
I'm getting to that. So, well, our first show, we had a goth fashion show. Okay. And our third show, we had my friend Doc Shock came on and shocked everybody with an electric wand. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But including my friend Rue the Clown, who was wearing who had pink clowny boots and had a very high threshold of pain. So when he would shock her, she would kick her little pink clowny boots. And there was a show. We were on at 8. There was a show at 8, at 9 o'clock. The Stories Public Radio with a very funny comic, Nestor Rodriguez. And they would come in early just to watch what we were doing because we were doing such crazy stuff. So what happened was, in 2015, I was kind of getting frustrated with everything. Comedy, my life was stagnant, just personally and professionally. And I was living at a guest house in Tarzana. It was a sweet deal. And the guy that owned the house was a Holocaust survivor, great guy, Israel Turk, God rest his soul. And he got really sick, and his grandchildren took over the property. And after a couple of plumbing problems, they're like, oh, it's just not worth it. They put a 60-day notice on my door. So I said, okay, this is a sign that I need to change my life and get out of LA and try something new and try a different scene.
Okay.
So I moved to New Orleans, Louisiana, because I love New Orleans.
Oh, dang. Okay. That's a bit
pretty
of
extreme.
Jump.
Pretty gotcha. Extreme.
Yeah.
So I had my last show at Skid Row Studios about 5 years ago. It's actually in August, about 2015, we had quite a menagerie of guests. We had Ross Jeffries, the pickup artist, who started the pickup artist industry. We had the band Many of Odd Nature. We had the industrial band Hosico from They were calling from Germany.
Oh, nice.
We had Josie Cat came on. We had my the co-host that replaced her, which her name is Nicole Six. She was a horror writer, and she is now she was on my last show that I just did with Clint Carney of System Sin. It was a really good show. She substitutes for Hannah from time to time. We had my friend Arabian MK, who was a fire performer, and he lit people's hands on fire.
Wow.
My friend Rotten Kitty, who was a burlesque dancer, also a host and a comedian. We had just all sorts of people on the show. Just packed the studio. It was a great show. And then a couple months later in October, I guess they just it just wasn't financially feasible. And they Jeremy was actually, I don't know if I should tell this out of school, but he was paying he was losing over $1,000 a month in the studio.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it just, he was doing everything. I mean, he would post the shows. He would do the, you would send him the description of the show. He would post it online, audio, video. And so he tried to redo it as We Play Radio. And he was doing it out of his house. He took all the equipment that was there, put it in his house. And we did three shows at We Play Radio at his house with, we had Kitten That TV Dodd from Russ Meyer Movies.
Okay.
That was our Christmas special. She was on with Santa Claus. Then we had, and she sat on Santa's lap, and apparently Santa has some pretty nice buns of steel, from what I understand. And then we had a Valentine's show where we had Bobby Brown, who was in the Cherry Pie video.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And we had her on, and we had our friend Orpheus Black, the Master of Fire, and he set his wife on fire and gave her an orgasm.
Holy
and,
crap.
And this is in the guy's living room, and it totally freaked Bobby Brown out.
Oh, wow, and really?
She didn't, we didn't tell what was going on, so. And Bobby Brown, to her credit, a delightful person. And so great that she, because Tawny Katane is who we booked, and she canceled the last minute.
I love Tawny.
And I've never met Tawny, but I met Bobby Brown when I first moved to L.A.
Okay.
I was in San Diego. I first moved to L.A. to do comedy. I lived in North Hollywood. I went to the 99 Cent store.
Okay.
And it was a beautiful woman, and I couldn't resist. We started talking, and I got her card, her business card. So I was like, wow, this L.A., I'm going to be picking up supermodels and getting their numbers every day. This is just going to be an everyday occurrence. Sadly, it has not been, but she was so nice. And then I was with, when I moved to L.A., I lived with three other comics in a two-bedroom house.
Okay.
Two guys had bedrooms. One guy had a futon in the living room. I lived in the garage.
Oh, damn.
But the guy with the futon was jealous because I had privacy. I could just shut the garage door and I had privacy. He was, it was a weird situation. So, and this is I hate to say it, but this is pre-cell phone days.
All right.
So I called, left a message. She called back. I wasn't there. Somebody else answered the phone and totally messed it up for me. So my roommate apparently messed that one up for me. But then 10 years later, I'm on Facebook and I get invited to her birthday party that she's having in Hollywood at the I think it was the Roosevelt Hotel by the pool.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I go up and I tell her the story. She's like, I don't remember you, but I'm not saying it didn't happen. And then I asked her on the show. She was on the show and she was great. And she's as beautiful as ever. And I can't tell you how grateful I am that she came on the show, even though she was a little freaked out. She thought we were doing a little Howard Stern sort of stuff. I'm like, no, this is what we do. Howard Stern would never do anything like this. But
no.
And then the last show we did at We Play Studios. So we did three shows at We Play Studios, three home runs. The last show we had at We Play Studios, we had my friend Arabian MK, the fire performer, came out with Otep, the heavy metal singer. And she was fantastic. And we had a great show. That was our three-year anniversary. That was 2016. And she was as cool as can be. She was, and she let Arabian MK light her hand on fire, and then she used it for promotional shots, which is great. So that was a really good show. So then, like I say, I moved to New Orleans. Then I moved to there's no comedy in New Orleans. There's none.
Oh, wow.
No comedy clubs.
Everybody's depressed.
No. In New Orleans, are you kidding? Everybody's listening to music. They're all drunk. They're all having a great time. There's no comedy clubs, is what I'm saying. There was one comedy theater that mainly did improv, but they also did stand-up. I tried to book a show there, and they said that my act was too offensive.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if you smell Bourbon Street, but that's offensive. My act is just funny, but I was there for a little bit, about 6 months, and then I saw my friends were doing really well in Las Vegas, and that seemed to be a booming scene, so I moved to Las Vegas, and that was 2017,
okay.
Or no, 2016, I'm sorry, I was there from 16, yeah, so I was there for a couple of years, and honestly, I was trying to get my own show on the Strip. I was somebody was helping me out with that, supposedly, but turned in that he took a lot of my money, took a lot of my time,
I'm sorry.
it just didn't work. And honestly, I became sort of damaged goods there because I wouldn't say damaged goods. I mean, I was still doing shows, but I was doing towards the end, I was doing mainly black shows, which is fine. But, you know, I would put white makeup on. It would seem a little redundant. But I did some really good shows there. I did a show where I met the late Bushwick Bill from the Ghetto Boys.
Oh, okay.
Because his drug dealer was one of the local comics. So I took a picture with him. Took a picture with him. And so, you know, I was, I could have taken some more time and really try to reestablish myself in the scene. But, you know, LA honestly is home.
Yeah.
And it's, I just have, there's a comfort level that I have here that I don't have anywhere else. So
right.
Here I am. I'm back.
That's good. And welcome.
Well, thanks. It's been a couple of years. So I found a new studio,
okay,
which was the, it was the Nerdist. And then after I got there a couple months later, they renamed the Nerdist. They changed it to the Ruby.
Okay.
And the Ruby was a feminist theater, and they redid everything, where to the point where they had a sign at the podcast door, podcast station, podcast studio / lactating station. So if you needed to nurse your baby, you could do it in the podcast studio.
Lactating station.
Yeah, you we never had any.
While you're lactating.
Yeah, so we never had anybody that needed to nurse their baby while we were on the air. Thank goodness, but the option was there. The bathroom was every woman said it was the best bathroom they'd ever been in because the tampon selection was second to none.
Oh God.
And it did smell. It did not smell like a men's room at all. It smelled very fresh, like a woman's room. There was no piss on the seat, none of that. So, but the Ruby, I think they were going to reopen just before the pandemic, and I don't know what's happening with that. But
okay.
I appreciate their support for the couple of years that we were there, and there was another great vibe in the studio, and we had some really really great shows that just I got to. Interview some people I never thought I would meet. I never thought I would get to talk to, and it was fun. And I, you know, you meet a lot of new friends, like you say, Dangerous D. I had him on my show. That's how I met him, and we became great friends. And so my co-host Hannah, the everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ, I just wanted to start over fresh. And she was she told me when I met her. Before I left for New Orleans, she told me, she's like, oh, you got to have me on your show. I've got so many stories. And I was like, okay, well, you be the co-host. And everybody loved her. And, you know, we've had everybody on there from it's weird because I just try to have interesting people on.
Right, of course.
Well, not of course, because the thing is with maybe not online radio shows, but podcasts these days, everybody's like, well, what's your theme? What's it about? And I do have a theme. It's the lighter side of the dark side. It's the underbelly of Hollywood. It's interesting right. people in Hollywood. Right, that could be anybody.
You should have had Ron Jeremy on.
I did have Ron Jeremy on.
I love Ron. I support Ron. He's always drunk. I mean, what are you gonna say?
Well, I'll tell you my opinion. He never did anything untoward to me, but
he put his head up his chest.
He never put his head up my ass, but.
I took that as an honor. Like, I was honored that Ron Jeremy hugged me and put his head on my chest and looked up at me and went, oh, pretty blonde woman. But I always had good interactions with Ron. I never had any issues with him, and he was never disrespectful to me. So, right. I mean, I'm sorry to anyone else that whatever happened, I don't know the stories.
Well, I do know some of the stories, and I do know some of the stories where he has not been respectful to
I'm sure, but that's always drunk. He is always drunk. And he worked in the damn sex.
He's not always drunk. He's a narcoleptic.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
That's why he falls asleep.
Getting up sometimes at the show.
There's an Instagram called Sleepy Ron Jeremy. I recommend you check that one out. It's just pictures of him, just like. Here's the thing about Ron Jeremy. I had Ron Jeremy on my show. I was having my friend Ophelia Rain, the adult film star. Adult film star. Yeah. So she was coming on, and we had a sex expert. Ann Hodder Schiff was also another one of our best guests. She's fantastic. So that was the show. I wanted to have those two on. So Ophelia was like, well, I wanted to see Ron Jeremy while I'm in town because she lives in Las Vegas.
Right.
So he wants to come on the show and meet us on the show. I'm like, I really don't want him on the show. I really don't. Because you want to know the truth? My ex-girlfriend was a webcam girl. He grabbed her breasts, and she did not.
Oh, okay.
She did not authorize that. I can tell you hundreds and hundreds of stories about that.
Oh, I'm sure he's done all that and then some. I'm sure.
Right,
he has.
But that's not right. That's not right. If everybody asks if Dark Mark's ever done that, nobody will tell you that I've done that. I don't.
Because you're not like that. You're more respectful. I can already tell.
No, I'm a human being. I don't want it done to me, so I don't do it to other people.
He's a lech.
Here's the thing with Ron Jeremy. My friend used to manage him. I did a show with Ron Jeremy at the Ventura Harbor Club. I opened up for him. I gave him a ride there. I was excited because I was like... Well, I'll get to hear some really cool porn stories from Ron Jeremy on the ride over from Hollywood to Ventura, which is a long drive. Also, I wanted to meet the owner of Ventura Harbor, club, and, you know, hopefully get in. So there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, right.
As soon as he gets in the car, honks out the whole way there.
I saw that you also had my buddy Fender Stacks from Green Jelly on, or Green,
yes, Green Jelly. Well, it's pronounced Green Jello.
Bill Manspeaker, rock on. Brother Nathan Young from Youngblood Productions plays bass for their LA shows.
I love Green Jello.
They're great.
Yeah.
Great guys, wonderful people. I'm very proud to call all of them friends. I love every one of them. I go to all the Green Jelly shows. I totally represent. I got two festival T-shirts with Green Jelly. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Bill. I love Bill.
Right. Just to finish with Ron Jeremy, and this has nothing to do with sexual harassment, but I went to a party on New Year's Eve. I went to like a few New Year's Eve parties here in Hollywood. The first one he was at.
Yeah.
And I go to the kitchen. They're like, "Oh, there's food in the kitchen." I go in the kitchen. Ron Jeremy's there. He's eating guacamole with his hands.
Oh.
So, yeah. So
that
I
his hands have been.
Exactly. So I did not partake in the refreshments. But no, we've had a lot of great guests lately. We've been very lucky, and I guess I have to thank Zoom because a lot of them, Fender probably could have gotten the studio because he's an LA guy, but
yeah.
But you know, I just interviewed Ginger Lynn, who lives in Las Vegas. I interviewed comedy legend Tom Dreesen, who lives in L.A., but he's 80 years old. It's a lot more convenient for him to do it in his house. Although he's really sharp mentally and physically for his age, so he probably would have gone to the studio.
Abatha, they live locally,
The good thing about Zoom is there's people. I interviewed Ivan DeProom, the original drummer for White Zombie. Right, he lives in Seattle, so I wouldn't have got that interview if it wasn't for Zoom.
That's awesome. You can do stuff for all around the world. You can interview, like you said, a band in Germany. You can do anything, which is awesome.
Yeah, no, I did. I had Jacqueline von Bjerk, the lead singer of Otto's Daughter. We did a show where she was in Germany.
Right.
So, but I love Green Jello. I always have. We probably at the Green Jello Fest last year. Yeah. In Whittier, we were probably at the same one with Potty Mouth.
I think I saw you there actually at the Sage Restaurant and Lounge. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where I met Mortis the first time.
Yes, I love him. That's my brother. That's my brother.
And I actually went up to his Mortis the Devil's Reject, who has his band. It's a one man band. Great stage show. And this is why I'm on the show, because we were supposed to be promoting for Mortis Fest, which I'll be performing on in October.
Last Saturday, I know.
Hopefully, and it was supposed to be last Saturday. So I went out to them, and I was he just got off stage, so I was waiting for him because people were talking to him. So I was waiting for him to have a moment so I could say hi, because he was going to be on my show,
right?
Or he was performing on my show, and you know, Lillian, his wife, is so strikingly beautiful, especially when she's dressed up in ghoulish makeup and attire.
Strip club when she's working. Oh my God, that woman can do a jump. She jumps in the air and comes down and does a full split right on the ground. I'm like, ow, that looks like it would hurt. She's badass. I'm telling you, this woman's badass.
Right.
We got to wrap up the show. It's only 50 minutes, unfortunately.
It's only been 50 minutes? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, the next guest has to get ready to come on the air and all that.
Well, let me finish the story. So I was going to say hi to Mortis, but because she's so striking in her ghoulish makeup and attire, my eyes kept diverting to where she was. And she didn't know who I was then, and she thought I was a weirdo stalker. I'm like, no, I'm the guy that Mortis has been in contact with. He's going to do my show at the CIA, and it's a whole thing.
Nice.
So, well, I got to tell you, this has been great.
Can you tell everybody where they can find you, like your show, all your link, whatever you want to tell everybody? Go for it.
Okay, well, I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. So Facebook Goth Comedian, Twitter.com Goth Comedian, Instagram Goth Comedian. My show, The Dark Mark Show, right now, hopefully I'll be doing live comedy soon. I do some Zoom shows from time to time. I just did a Zoom roast, which I don't know. Roasts really need to be live. You can't – it's hard to roast somebody through a screen. But the Dark Mark Show, also on all social media, is Dark Mark Show. And look on YouTube tonight. My full interview with Ginger Lynn will be posted tonight.
Nice.
On YouTube. And this week, if you go to any of the podcast catchers, a lot that you mentioned, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer, CastBox, TuneIn, all the everywhere your show's on, my show's on, except for LA Talk Radio.
Which is awesome.
All the podcast catchers, go to the Dark Mark Show. This week, we just did an interview with Clint Carney from System Sin. Are you familiar with System Sin?
I've heard of them, yeah.
Great industrial band. He's like a one-man band, like a Trent Reznor or Prince. He does all the instruments. Also, he's acted in horror movies. He's done props for movies from Gone Girl to Star Trek. It was a great conversation. Nicole's on the show. That was a great show. So video for Ginger Lynn will be on tonight. Audio with Clint Carney will be on Friday initially on RenegadeRadio.com. Okay. That's 9 o'clock Pacific time. And this will all be on my social media. 10 o'clock Saturday night on Steel Waves Radio. And then it'll be on the podcast catchers on Sunday.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, we want to thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you, Jennifer.
For being on our show today. You've been an amazing guest. We look forward to, hopefully when we do our online concerts, you can do a stand-up comedy routine you know, in between the bands and stuff. Whatever you want to do, we've got you.
Please, please. I'm open for management. Please, please manage me, Jennifer. I
manage the hell out you. Not a problem.
Oh, okay, well, we'll see what happens. I know you have to do your show, but I got to tell you, with the roster of artists you have, I would fit right in. But I love Potty Mouth. I love Mortis. I love all those guys. So, anyway, Jennifer, I got to tell you, this has been so much fun. It's great to be back on the LA Talk Radio, and you do a great job as host.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right, go and check out LA Talk Radio right now on Facebook. You can look at, you know, watch this video again if you weren't able to see it live. Also go to LA Talk Radio Channel 1, and you can download this episode as soon as it's done airing, which will be here in a moment. You'll be able to catch it within like 2 or 3 minutes after it's been done airing. And then you can find us everywhere, iHeartRadio everywhere, Spreaker. We'll be putting this out on all the social medias and everywhere else. So stay tuned till next week. Thank you so much, Dark Mark, for being on our show today. Rock on.
Thank you. It was so much fun.
Keep rocking, dude.
Yes. COVID cannot stop the rock.
Amen. Keep it going.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. And we look forward to working with you and seeing you very shortly.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.